Technology.ie. It's Monday, January 20th, 2014.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Hello and welcome to technology.ie. My name is Conor Muinicon, and on the line I've got some guests. Mark Tighe of the Sunday Times is joining us. Hello, Mark.
How are you doing, Conor?
And we've also got bloggers Una Sinnott and Paul Duggan with us as well. Paul, have you got a what's your website or URL if you want to give it a plug?
It's it only encourages them .wordpress.com.
It's a great title. And what's yours, Una? Where can people find you?
Hiya, it's republicinterest.com.
Okay, that's a fairly new site, Una.
It is, yeah. I just set it up in the last couple of months.
What's the purpose of it?
Well, it's just really to, I have an interest in things like social media and technology, and obviously the web is kind of changing the way that people communicate and the way that stories break, and as a journalist I'm just interested in exploring that, so it's kind of an outlet for me for that.
Okay. Well, what prompts this conversation is I picked up my paper, as I said, this evening, and there's a story by Mark Tighe on the front page of the Sunday Times. Mark, tell us about that story.
Yeah, well, an organisation, it's a registered charity, the Consumer Association of Ireland. It's, we've been looking at their Twitter account. We've been looking at their whole association with the state, basically, in the last couple of years. They've been getting an average of 45,000 to 47,000 euro a year in state funding. And Dermot Tulis was a very well-known spokesperson who's out there. Anytime something goes wrong in a big organisation, you'll often see Dermot Tulis, you know, as someone who's very quotable, very well spoken. He'll come out and, you know, say it's a disgrace, people are treating consumers very badly. But we've been focusing on the Consumer Association and what they're doing with public money, and I suppose how ethical they are themselves. You know, there's a lot of folks, they're a registered charity. They get a small amount of money, I suppose, compared to CRC, but still, it's a sizable amount. And they've said publicly that they wouldn't survive without state funding. So last year, we did a story just before Christmas saying that they'd that 3 to 4 civil servants had strongly recommended that they didn't get any more state funding because their business plan was a mess, and they didn't offer any value for money, no solid metrics in terms of what they're going to do with this money. Richard Bruton intervened after his special advisor, Kieran Conlon, wrote a note. We got this through FOI and said, no, let's give them the money and let's, you know, make sure there's solid metrics, that they improve their social media spread, they improve how often they're mentioned in normal media, you know, and they get the consumer. There's basically the Department of Enterprise, where Richard Bruton is minister, he has about 45,000 to 47,000 every year that has to go to an independent consumer advocate, and he wanted to give it to the consumer agency. So we thought it was very unusual that the civil servants were so adamant that they don't get it, and the minister overrode them. So because some of the money went to improve the social media, that was kind of unusual, I suppose, in itself, you know, that the state would be giving money to an organization to improve their social media outreach or their social media importance or hits, you know. So earlier this week, I got a text or a tweet, actually, from former director there, Ashley McShane. And he resigned from the Consumer Association about 6 years ago because he said there wasn't enough transparency. And he said, look, the Twitter followers have gone from just over 300 to 3,600. And so, I think it was Paul. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so, and this was overnight, as it were. So this was...
Within hours, he said he looked at it after we did our story. We did another story about them last week. And he said he was looking at their Twitter account because he thought this was unusual. They got money for helping their social media. And he looked at their account in the morning, had 300-odd followers. He looked at their account a few hours later, had 3,600-odd.
Instant improvement in social media followers.
An amazing. And usually, you know, you'd look and see if they've been mentioned by someone, a celebrity, had they done something. But I think it was Paul then on his blog who looked into their geographic location and found that they were more popular in Rio than they were than they are in Rialto or Dublin. You know that Brazil,
Paul,
was more popular than Ireland.
Paul, can you tell us about that?
Well, they were first piqued my interest was the Value Ireland Twitter account tweeting about it, and
this is the account that's run.
Mark.
This is the account that's run by the former director of the community.
Yeah, that's
by the former director. Yes,
yeah.
And he was very critical of them and their social media. And so I said I'd do some analytics on their Twitter account, and it really surprised me because it wasn't just Rio, it was Mexico, it was Chile, it was Peru, all Latin and South American. Now, as I said in my blog, unless, you know, Brazil are looking to import milk from Ireland for the World Cup or something, these guys have no business following the Consumer Association of Ireland. And 70% of their 70% of the speakers that followed them were Spanish, the rest were Portuguese, very little. You know, there was more. He even had more followers in India than he did in Cork. You know, so obviously something was up. So I did the drill down in the analytics and I posted on my blog. And of course, they didn't reply to queries. And I saw today in Mark's article that they said, that's false. We're looking into it. Somebody's spamming us. The usual, you know, when somebody gets caught out like that.
Yeah. But so you actually analysed it. What tools did you use to analyse the followers that they had?
I used a number of different tools to make sure I was getting the same feedback from their account. There was follower wonk, there was Twitter audit, there was false followers, was another one. They were the three I used, and I cross-referenced all three, and they're all coming back with the same metrics.
Okay.
The majority of the followers are fake.
Which is that the majority of the followers, as you say, are fake. They were coming from Brazil. And as Una, you later discovered...
Hello.
Can you hear us there,
Hello.
Paul? Hello, can you hear us, Paul?
Hello.
Yeah?
Hello, Carl.
Yeah, can you hear us?
No, I can't hear you.
Yeah, bear with me just a second. I think we've just something interfering here. Can you hear me now, Paul?
I can hear you now.
Okay, Grant, we'll push on. Yeah, so this was essentially. Actually, I'll come to you in a moment, Una. So, Mark, this was essentially the thrust of what you were able to reveal in the Sunday Times today, that the Consumers Association of Ireland had more fans in Brazil than they had had in Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been trying to call them all week, and every time I call, they're in a meeting, trying to get some explanation. They did put out one tweet on Thursday saying they've been spammed. I did get speaking via email to Denzel Lacey, who's a contractor who runs a company called Zava Media, who said, you know, that this is someone's done this to us, and he also pointed out that. Their Twitter metrics that they put into the department to be reviewed for their state funding, that they'd already been submitted prior to Monday. So he said this would have no influence, you know, so it couldn't have been them that did it themselves. So that's why I think Una's, what she found out today about their Facebook followers is more interesting, because it brings it on a step more, because those Facebook metrics of over 6,000 followers were submitted already, so they were gone to department to justify the spend of the public money.
And that was subsequent to your article appearing today in the paper,
yeah,
in the print edition.
The last couple of hours I've seen Una do very good. Like, I didn't know you could drill into, I was suspicious about their Facebook followers as well.
Una, tell us about that. What prompted you to go looking at the Facebook followers?
Sure. Well, I saw Paul's piece on it earlier in the week, and obviously when you see something like that, the first thing, you know, it does occur to you, like, is there something on Facebook as well, you know? But like that, it's Twitter is a lot easier to analyse, you know? And I just happened to come across fan page Karma during the week, because I read a lot about social media, and I just kind of put two and two together. So we got sat down on Friday and...
This is a tool that allows you to analyze your Facebook page, your Facebook fan page, and see how it's performing. I had a look at it after you tweeted it this evening, Una.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot of metrics. It gives you a lot of information. It tells you the first thing that comes right up is what country you're most followed in, or most your page is most popular in. So which country in the world is it that the Consumers Association Facebook page is most popular in?
Well, their page is by far the more popular in Turkey
than it is in Ireland.
Yes, out of there they have 6,600 and I think 15 last time I looked at the page. Obviously it goes up and down slightly, and out of those they have 1,568 followers in Turkey and 448 in Ireland. So, and they have nearly as many again in Indonesia with 441 and 419 in Brazil.
Right. What about the suggestion? I mean, we've seen this before, Mark, haven't we? In terms of people who have got, you know, fake followers, bought followers, or whatever it might be. I know there was a case here in Ireland last year. There was a bit of a slagging match going on among various high profile people in the Irish Twitter sphere, and some of those who were critical of others who had got, I'm talking in particular, I think it was Damien Mulley and Pat Phelan, who had been critical of other people whose followers they judged to be fake. I think Damien woke up one morning to find he had 30,000, someone had bought him 30,000 mm-hmm. fake followers. It is possible, is it not, that someone could
completely
buy...
Completely, and like, you can't say it's an open and shut case against Consumer Association or anyone on their behalf at this stage. It's suspicious as much as you can say. There's a thing, like, I think it's called click bombing, where you pick someone you want to embarrass, maybe. And the way these websites work, the click farms or the fake likes for sale websites, all you have to do is put in the Facebook URL or the Twitter handle, and voila, you know, once you pay your 15 euro or how much, depending on how many followers or likes you want to get, that they'll add them. So you don't need any authentication or authorization from the account holder. So yeah, it is possible. Like one person we spoke to for, we did a wider piece on this in the Sunday Times, was Barry Egan, who'd some 72,000 followers, this on the Independent journalist. And he was amazed and shocked and very surprised to find that when we looked at his account, over half of them were fake followers, and he'd no idea how they got there. So someone must have gone and said, look, let's give Barry loads of followers or something like that.
But that's a point you make as well. It's like, what, 15 euros or $15 or something trivial to get thousands of followers. We're not exactly talking about, I mean, first of all, you don't need 45,000 euros to do this. We're not talking about huge sums of money here. And in a way, is it that serious?
Well, that's when it comes to something like, you know, trying to justify getting state money. I think it is serious. If someone did this, it's an easy win, I suppose. You know, if you're asked metrics come back and say that you've grown your Facebook followers by 100%, and that'll justify, you know, a state grant, and you fraudulently go and do that. That is, you know, it's fraud. There's no other way to, if someone was to do that, I'm not saying the Consumer Association have done it in this case, but if someone did that, you know, you'd have to call in the guards and say, you know, this is someone who's trying to defraud us out of money here. And yes, it is funny in many aspects, but it is serious too. Mm.
Yeah, and I mean, let's make the point as well that you're still waiting for a reply to your questions from the Consumers Associations and from their consultant as well.
Yeah, well, look, I think I don't know what they call for transparency among everyone else, but they're not a very transparent organization, unfortunately. And this is public money, and I think the way they've handled this is very poor. They pointed us towards the Department of Enterprise to talk to them, and they won't talk to us. So I don't know if it's a personal thing or they'll talk to other media when it's. But yeah, like it's up for them to come out and kind of talk about this, and that's why I think Una is. Discovery about the Facebook likes today is very serious. That is something that has been submitted to the department as justifying their money, the money they got last year.
Yeah. I didn't contact Denzil Lacey now, for example, this evening. I just got in touch with yourselves and wanted to sort of explore this as far. Mm-hmm. And I think there are definitely questions to be answered, and we await hearing those answers either from Denzil, who's the contractor, I think.
And Denzil in emails to me, and I just point out, like, he's very adamant that, you know, they've done everything by the book. This is someone who's spammed them or done it on them, and they're investigating it and trying to find out who the perpetrator or perpetrators are. So that's his stance.
Can I come in there? When it was pointed out to the Consumer Association of Ireland that they had jumped over 3,000 followers in such a short space of time by the Value Ireland account, they blocked them and ignored them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was only after that I had wrote my blog that they started to shed followers after that.
Yeah. Mm. And what are they at now in terms of followers? I think they've you looked at their Twitter again this evening, and it's well down from 3,300 to something 2,600 or 700 now.
It's 2,600 and something there now. It's 2,646. They shed 1,000 followers in 5 days, basically. But they only started to shed those followers after I had written my blog, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Mm.
And I've spoken to Twitter during the week and reported that account and other accounts to them. So I'm sure Twitter are are having a look, as well as I'm sure the Consumer Association at this stage are trying to weed them out themselves. So.
But Paul, you went... Go ahead, Paul, sorry.
Yeah, I just think Mark raised the interesting point, like, that there's 47,000 euros grant given to improve their social media brand, and not just a social media brand, but in general.
Yeah.
That's an awful lot of money for an organisation that's shrinking in size constantly, that did not seem to have any kind of social media strategy or profile. The subscribed Consumer Association of Ireland costs you between 24 and 200 euros a year. So they should be answerable to somebody, but as Mark said, they're not very transparent.
Paul, you went looking then this evening with Twitter Audit. You looked at some other well-known Twitter accounts in Irish life this evening.
Well, I did this evening. Gerry Adams has almost 40,000 followers, and almost 8,000 of them are fake. Micheál Martin has another 2,000 followers that are fake out of 9,000. And Kenny hasn't tweeted since February of 2011, I think. And he's 6,540 fake followers. So,
out of how many?
Out of, I think he has 17,000 followers.
Okay, that's quite a few. And I mean, looking at Gerry Adams, for example, 32,000 real followers is nothing to be ashamed of. In a way, you'd wonder as to why he had got the 8,000 fake, or was that something that he did initially when he was starting off, or someone perhaps might have done initially when he was starting off with the account?
There could be other explanations. That, you know, like there's also a lot of spam accounts out there, and, you know, if you're a popular or well-known figure, maybe they latch on to those in greater numbers than regular punters, you know, that, and the person who's account for Gerry or who Gerry himself isn't, isn't deleting them as me and you might, you know, that could be another reason some of these accounts are well-known people are attracting a lot of fake accounts or spam accounts.
Do you have any fake followers yourself, Mark?
When I did it, it showed up, and that's why some of these tools as well, you have to be careful about. When I did it, it showed up, I think 1 or 2%, and two of the accounts that suggested, I looked at them, and one of them was, I think, a spam account, and the other one was a real account. So. Yeah, like one thing Twitter said to me about these other these audit sites is to be careful. Often they say they're the only company that can genuinely say which accounts are spam and which accounts are fake. So I think they are to a large extent accurate, you know. So, but they wouldn't be 100% accurate, no way.
Now, I went at it this evening and I just typed in my own Twitter handle, and I have about 2,400 followers, and it told me that 92% of my followers were real, 8% of them are fake. I've never done anything about that, or I've never, I've certainly never solicited fake followers or purchased fake followers. But equally, I've never been concerned one way or another, good, bad or indifferent, about who's following me. Is that perhaps something I should do?
Well, I suppose it's just, I don't think it's too harmful, but if they build up to a large number, it can be, you have to be careful, and especially if you're following them back, then you're subjecting yourself to, you know, these, we've all got these DMs from hacked accounts.
Yeah.
If you're following spam accounts, I'm sure you'll be inundated with them. Otherwise, I suppose it's just good practice to weed out the fakes. And the other thing is Twitter really do have to improve it, and Facebook too, is to improve their auditing. And there's a recent Associated Press report showed that they've got out of using bots to set up these accounts, and there's actually real people behind a lot of these spam accounts, which makes them harder for the likes of Twitter and Facebook to find.
Can I ask you that, Paul? What do you think? Do you think it's fair to say that a lot of these public figures, like someone like Gerry Adams, isn't it possible that some well-meaning supporter might have purchased those for him, and that he might indeed have nothing to do with it?
It is absolutely impossible. But just, I did an analysis of my own Twitter account, and it said 1 to 2% of them were fake. And I did it for a lot of friends as well that asked me to do. And the general is 1 to 2% fake followers a lot of people have, and it's up to Twitter and the Instagrams to use to weed out these followers, you know. And it's entirely possible that the Consumer Association of Ireland have had those followers bought for them, but you got to ask why.
Yeah,
you know, like, Ireland's such a small country, why is anybody going to waste 20 euro on acquiring 3,000 followers? Now, also with their Facebook page, Azunda has very well shown that a lot of their likes are in Istanbul. So that's two social media accounts that, you know, they have a lot of questions to ask.
Una, do we judge people by their Facebook and Twitter following? Do we rank them? Do we rate them? Does it say something about somebody's status, authority and credibility if he or she has a significant following on social media?
I don't really know. I don't think so. I think a lot of people kind of get bogged down in the metrics, though. I mean, I would know people who they want to have a lot of followers, regardless of whether they're actually having a lot of engagement or not, you know? Mm. So, I mean, everybody, like, it's like Paul was saying, he has like 1%, 2% fake followers. No, I haven't analysed mine, but I know for a fact that I have them because I see them following me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess a lot of spam accounts will just follow people, do you know? So, like that. But I don't know what people judge people on. I don't know if it's something to judge people on. I mean, it's not a very good idea if you want to use social media in order to engage with other people or in order to spread your message. It's not really very useful or very productive to have fake followers.
Because it's about engagement. It's about quality,
exactly,
not quantity,
is.
Isn't
you
it?
Know?
It's not
so,
a numbers
mean,
game.
When,
they keep.
Exactly. Yeah. When I looked at their Facebook page, for example, they have engagement of just 0.02%.
Mm.
You know, which is very low for a page that's like over 6,600 followers. You would expect a lot more engagement, more comments, more likes, but there's very little, you know.
But maybe it's me. I'm just thinking, and I'll come to you in a minute, Paul. Sorry, I'm just thinking, Una, I wouldn't fault them for... I wouldn't fault any organisation for having quality, genuine engagement with hundreds rather than thousands.
Absolutely,
of people.
Yeah. Yeah,
Paul.
Like that, you would expect is once you're really getting up into the thousands with Facebook, you would expect people to be commenting and to get, you know, a fair few likes rather than just one or two on each post.
You wanted to come in there, Paul.
Yeah, Ireland is such a small country, and you know, everybody knows each other. So when you look at somebody that says, you know, has like Barry Egan has 70,000 followers, like, you know, oh my God, this guy must be, you know. Mm. Very good on Twitter,
yeah,
or
he was above even the independent.ie, which I thought amazing. You know, he'd more followers than his own newspaper, you know.
Yeah. But the nobody issue is that fake followers and fake likes are a nightmare for advertisers.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the reality of the situation, you know. And if you're trying to build a brand and it's found out that you're buying likes and you're buying, you know, Twitter followers, it damages your credibility, seriously.
Yeah.
I've no doubt everybody reading Mark's article today, excellent article, will think, you know, the Consumer Association of Ireland, you know, what are they at? They can't be trusted now, can they?
And in a way, and I think, Mark, we're going to hear more about this, Mark, and I wouldn't be surprised if this story develops further. I'm interested to know what the... Are we talking about two separate grants of 45 and 47,000?
Yeah, they've basically got an annual account. And the one for this year is for more IT. But again, there's a social media element in it, according to the statement. So
the social media, improving social media reach or whatever it is just one of a number of goals and metrics tied to that funding.
Well, that was for the one for last year. That was the main thing, which was to increase their the knowledge of the CEI out in media and social media. The one for this year is improve their IT systems, and that includes improving their reach over social media.
It's a worthwhile. I mean, just to look at it in its essence, Mark, it is a worthwhile goal in some respects, and that funding could be made available for something like that if it's something that is in the public good or in the public interest.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I remember your article, it referred to media as well as social media. €45,000 isn't going to go very far in terms of buying traditional advertising, for example.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it is very interesting, I think. And I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast would be interested to know exactly how you would spend, how best you could and would spend that in order to improve your engagement with social media.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many companies now out there offering services, you know, I'll improve your social media. I'll do your Twitter and Facebook plugin into your website and, you know, make it all bells and whistles. So I think increasingly we're going to see all public operators now, departments, service operators, utilities, they all have Twitter and social media accounts. So there's money going on them, and the people managing these are going to want to impress their bosses, who probably know nothing or next to nothing about Facebook and Twitter. And if they say, look, boss, I've increased the number of followers by 100% or 200%, you know, I think the people who have the money have to wake up to this and say, you know, it's no good if 90% of our followers are bot accounts in Rio de Janeiro or something. So I think it's something that people who are paying for this need to wake up to, that there is an easy way around this, and they have to be mindful of that. You know, it's not real engagement, obviously, if you have these fake accounts.
It's really symptomatic, isn't it, of the fact that it's early days, it's Wild West territory for a lot of people in terms of social media. The people who make the decisions don't really understand it. They don't understand the methods. They don't understand the metrics. And there are perhaps people who are offering services that aren't really well enough understood.
Well, even there's one case we wrote about today was Sean Tyrrell, a 20-year-old local election candidate in Ballymun, who had suddenly 2,000 Turkish followers on his Facebook page. He was the front page of the Northside People this week. Mm-hmm. And we looked into that and found that WebEvation, the company he'd hired to do his website, had also added 5,000 followers to their Facebook page in Turkey. And when I confronted Ed Leamy, the guy who runs WebEvation, he was saying, oh, this is all part of an experiment I was doing. And he took down his Facebook page and published the findings of his research after I confronted him. So he admitted it was a very silly thing to be doing. He said he was looking into the dangers of this, but the dangers are very clear. It's a huge blow to your reputation if you're involved in kind of sourcing these fake accounts.
Well, I think it's a service certainly has been done by your work and reporting on this, Mark, and also to your work as well, blogging this, Paul and Una as well. And I want to thank the three of you for joining us this evening on technology.ie.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you.